Okay, welcome back. Glad you're here. The Coral Castle. Many of you know about it. Many of you don't know about it. And if you don't, you're going to find out about it. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, find out how it all came to be. It is a geomantic wonder, as one website calls it, often equated by many people, especially engineers and others, with feats of, things like Stonehenge and even the Great Pyramid of Egypt. The Coral Castle was built by an eccentric little man named Edward Leedskalnin, who single-handedly, somehow, erected gigantic quarried stones, resulting in his enigmatic castle. It was originally located in a tiny town in Florida. The site was later moved by Leedskalnin to its current location just south of Miami. Ed is said to have built the whole Coral Castle for his so-called Sweet 16, supposedly a woman from his native Latvia who had promised to marry him and then changed her mind at the last minute. The fact is, it was a shielded illusion, the Sweet 16, to his discovery, which was apparently the ability to redirect or somehow neutralize the forces of gravity. It has been a major wonder for many, many years since Ed was personally giving tours. People were mind blown by the whole thing. There's a gentleman named John Depew who's going to join us for the first part of the program tonight. John has been researching the Coral Castle and Edward Leedskalnin enigma for a long time now and has come up with what he says is an explanation as to how Ed did it all. And so let's go and take a little stroll and find out what we can learn from John Depew about the magical and mysterious Coral Castle. And by the way, you're going to be able to see a lot of pictures of the Coral Castle online tonight. They're online 24 hours a day. We're putting some together for you in the guests box at rents.com. Okay, let's see if John Depew is there.
Yes, I am.
How are you, John?
Good, how are you?
I've been better. I've been worse.
Been here?
Yeah. Now, tell me about the Coral Castle and you. When did you first come across it? When did you first see it? How often have you seen it? And so forth.
It was probably about 15 years ago was my first encounter, and ever since then I just continually think about it and read his writings over and over and over and experiment and all that. And I knew there was something hidden there, and I just couldn't find it. I'd tried over and over and over, and finally, there's one thing I didn't try. That was on the cover of his magnetic current book. There's these two silly little lines that I just assumed were part of the publisher's design of the book, because they're so subtle. So I decided to take those two little lines and see if I could make them run. He describes how magnetic currents run differently than scientists believe.
All right.
I assumed that these two squiggly lines were a representation of magnetic currents. So I took those two little lines.
He didn't say that in his writing. He didn't explain that.
He didn't explain anything about the hint on the cover of the book.
Right. And he didn't, if I might interrupt, he didn't leave exactly a library full of information behind either.
Exactly. It's very hard to weed through all of it. But when you find out what the code unleashes or unravels, his brilliance is so beyond anything I've seen. Really, I'm almost speechless. I get all flustered even trying to talk about it.
Now, this has been 15 years of your life.
Yeah, and the last few especially. The last 5 years, I really put a lot of time, almost every day.
What was it about the Coral Castle and the story that got you so hooked and intrigued?
I really don't know. It's definitely become a compulsion, though.
Well, we may all be the better off for that compulsion, so let's see where we go. Now, if you click on John Depew's name, you'll go to his website. And thereupon, we will see some very, very interesting analysis and a theory as to what was involved with Leedskalnin's brilliance. How was it that you finally, after, I guess about 12 or 13 years, stumbled onto the two wavy lines that were the hint and then figure it out? I mean, and we'll explain it later, but
it was the one thing I didn't try. I tried everything. I was even building my own wheel, you know, his magnetic wheel. I was even building my own, and I was halfway through when I broke the coast. I still got a lot more to do now, but it opened up such a huge box of information that I'm flustered.
Were you talking to other researchers who have been trying to figure it out as well, or just working on your own?
I pretty much work on my own, but I've talked to a few people. But none of it's really gotten me anywhere.
Right. So as far as the story about him doing this whole thing for this 16-year-old girl,
I don't pay much attention to that.
It was just a little ruse on his part to,
I think so,
to play games with people, I guess, and have them even more mystified at what he did.
He wanted people to work for. He had trouble with people being lazy, too lazy to work to find the results, I believe.
Right.
I
understand. Okay. All right, give our listeners just a little bit of a sketch about Coral Castle, how big it is, and so
forth. Well, I don't really have all that information in front of me. I'm not real technical, so I don't even absorb that. You know, I keep it on hand to for my research, but I don't memorize it.
Sure. Okay. What part of the castle is most intriguing to you?
The wheel. The magnetic wheel.
So, for our listeners who cannot see the magnetic wheel, explain what that is.
Basically, when I unraveled the code, you could see his brilliance. Well, that brilliance is what he used to design the wheel. People assume it's just an AC generator, but they're only measuring one half of what's there, and that's what science does with the energy in the first place. Physicists work with the negative aspects, and electricians work with the positive aspects. They don't get together and look at it as a whole form. Mm-hmm.
What does describe the wheel for our listeners, then. It's how big is it? What's it look
like?
It's
on the web page. It's at the bottom of, you scroll down the web page, you'll see it.
Okay, how far down do we go?
It's down to the bottom.
Okay, go all the way down to the bottom of John DePew's web page, and there is John's wheel, shiny
above,
and new, and it's above that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always felt that snowflakes held the secret to our universe's energy pattern.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really ironic, and that's how I knew I found the big one when I unraveled the code, and it turned out to be perfect snowflake patterns. I mean, one after another. They're blueprints of magnetic circuitry of nature. He did this all in his brain. I mean, I'm figuring out on a computer, I'm taking that shape and I'm templating it over top of each other to produce these patterns. I'm not running them through a software program or anything like that. I'm doing it step by step.
So his brain was a mini supercomputer, apparently.
His brain, I've never seen a scientist that knew so much about the base form of energy than Ed did.
Wow. And what
is I can barely even speak.
What is your background, John? Are you self-educated in this field of physics, or did you study it at all?
Yeah, self-educated, exactly. I'm a trial and error person. I'm not
really
technical.
Well, it's a great way to learn. If you've got the discipline and the patience, because you'll often step around blocks and impediments that orthodox science has, you know, set up and lived with for years.
That they're not trying to display the truth.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. Especially after finding this.
Well, I'm reminded of the story that is sort of legendary. He was moving these large blocks of quarried material, which weighed many, many tons. And the truck driver and the flatbed truck came up to move this. And the driver looked around for a huge crane, and there was nothing. There was just this big block. And Ed told the driver to leave for, 15 minutes, something like that. And when the driver came back, the block was on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's amazing to me how this story has largely been ignored by much of America. It's every bit as much of a mystery as Stonehenge, as many of the monuments in Egypt, on the Giza Plateau, and elsewhere, and around the world. This is an extraordinary accomplishment.
Right. And the thing that's really hilarious about the whole thing is I hear people still talking about, like, why didn't he leave a clue? Even after I'm showing them this, they still don't take the time to look at it. And that's what made him more angry than anything.
That's why he
kept it till the end. And right before he died, he put it on the cover of his last publication.
That was it. It was just two lines?
Yep. Two little things. This is mine.
Amazing. All right. When you scroll down near the bottom of John DePew's page, figure T, U, and V, and W are all about the wheel of Ed Leedskalman. Let's pause. We have a little bit of business to do. Come right back. We'll take a look at that wheel and talk more about it with John DePew in just a minute. Okay, Jeff Rentz back with John DePew. We're talking about Ed Leedskalman's Coral Castle. Has the secret been solved by John DePew? And it may well have been. At the very least, John has opened a door that heretofore has remained invisible and unknown to apparently everyone who's tried to figure this mystery out for decades now. It's quite a story. When you look at my guests section at the top of Rentz.com, you'll see John DePew's name. You, of course, can click on his name to go to his website. I want you to do that. Also, underneath that, you'll find another link which just says The Coral Castle. I put that up because it's the official website of The Coral Castle, and there are quite a few pictures you can go browse through as well. Now, let's go to John DePew's page, his site, Figure T, okay, and click on that image. It's Ed Leedskalman's magnetic wheel, which is much more than people perceive it to be. If you click on that picture, you'll get a blown-up version of it, and you can look. That's actually looking down on top of it. Now, if you're real quick, you can go to that other link, the Coral Castle in the box. Click on that, and the first pictures that come up are nine of them. They're from the official website. And the bottom of the three lines of photos in the center is a photograph of the same thing, the wheel. But it is labeled here the AC generator. The AC generator. Now you can click on that and get kind of a 45 degree angle view. It's not straight down, it's not from the horizontal. And you can see the height of the wheel, which appears to be about, how tall would that be? 8 to 10 inches, John?
Off the ground, you mean?
Yeah, the wheel itself, up from the bottom of it to the top.
Oh, I'd say probably 6 to 8 inches at the most.
That's it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now, it appears, for those who cannot see this, that in the center of this round wheel, which has all the way around it in a 360-degree what look like almost teeth in a gear, it looks like a gear wheel, as it were. I'm not sure what it's made of, but it looks like in the top center there is a handle to hand crank this wheel. Is that correct?
Right.
So Ed would somehow turn this wheel by hand, round and around she goes, and what she did only he knows.
Well, supposedly he could keep it rotating. Once he got the orbit going, the wheel would continue to rotate perpetually.
Really?
That's what he says in his writing, yeah. He does not make the wheel. I've put an application in the patent office, but obviously they didn't approve it.
Did he? Well, no, wait a minute. Did he submit a patent for this?
Right, yes.
Where is that submission?
I have no idea. I think that was part of the reason he probably got more bitter towards the end.
Well, there ought to be a filed submission somewhere. Maybe the government...
I've heard people have checked it out and they haven't found anything on it, but he definitely writes about it. He made 10 wheels, but this last one was his best one.
And what happened to the others, do we know?
I have no idea.
Well, like many artists, he may have destroyed them.
He might have just took them apart and used them to make this final one.
New parts, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he did submit a patent app on this that...
He said he did. He said he did in the book.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is if he did, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if it didn't go into that same black hole that much of Nikola Tesla's work went and others as well.
Right.
Okay, so...
People still don't know who he is.
Right.
Tesla. They don't even know who Tesla is, and they're using his stuff all the time.
Well, that's true. All right, so we're looking at figure T, and it's a nice photograph of it. Did you take this picture?
Yeah.
All right. How'd you get it up and over? Just lean over it?
Yeah, just leaned over.
Okay. So you can see the handle in the very center of it, and he would spin this thing round and around, and according to what he has written about, it would keep going. Did he say in his writings, John, what it did when it was in its perpetual motion state, spinning round and round?
I think he could do work with it. He's creating an orbit of energy, and he could send that energy out.
An orbit of energy, does that mean some kind of an energy bubble 360 degrees around the wheel, something like that?
Well, if you look at scroll up to the top of the page, you'll see a section that says Secret Nest Egg. I have a picture of him using the wheel in there, and that'll help you.
Okay, Secret Nest Egg. Let me go down.
Let's count. Sacred Nest Egg.
Sacred. Okay, figure A, 1, 2, and 3. Which would it be numbered?
It's on a separate page called Sacred Nest Egg.
Right. Oh, there's a link at the top? I missed it.
Yeah, it's just the next page.
There it is. Okay.
There's also something of great interest in there that I haven't yet also.
Okay, right at the top page, John DePue's website, is a link on the left is... Home, and then Sacred Secrets, and then on the right, More Sacred Nest Eggs. And let's click on that and see what we come up with. Okay, there's a picture of Ed at the top standing, and then the third picture down is a photograph. I wonder who took that picture of Ed turning his wheel. Let's click on that. And okay, this is fascinating.
Here he is.
Pardon me?
Look at the setup he has there.
I'm looking.
That's not something you take down every day. That's something, that's a permanent setup. The wheel itself, its core goes down into the ground with a drive shaft.
Oh, how far down?
I can't see below the coral rock, but it plugs right into the ground. And what it is it's a crankshaft. And as the crankshaft turns, he's got an iron oil pan mounted in the wall. So as it turns, it goes in that little section of, the oil pan and then back out, in the section of oil pan and back out, which I think is part of the functioning of the wheel.
But there is some kind of a shaft that goes on into the ground further?
Yes.
And we don't know how deep that shaft goes.
No, but Coral Castle is only 6 feet above the water.
Okay. So it might go, well, who knows? Hold on, John. We have a pause here. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes with John DePue. Okay, welcome back. Jeff Rentz with my guests. First guest tonight, John DePue. Now, go to John's website if you've just joined us. And at the top of it, you will see on the right-hand side, right at the very top, you'll see three links, Home, Sacred Secrets, and More Sacred Nest Eggs. And click on that link, and we're going to go to that page. We've been on that page. And do join us if you just tuned in. The third picture shows Ed at work at his magnetic current generator. Now, this wheel, as John is describing to us, that he's turning, there's a hand crank there, has a shaft that goes down into the ground. The water table is only 6 feet beneath the ground level right there at that location. Do you think this shaft may go down into the water?
I feel like it would, but I don't have any evidence.
Okay, now there's some very heavy chains and some other things above this that I can see, and something that looks almost like a... a gauge or a clock dial, like a sundial almost. What are we looking at up there?
That's just, you come out above the wheel, that massive iron. You just compiled as much iron as you had into a bundle, I believe.
So it's just kind of junk iron all put together for a reason. Yep. Just to...
Right, he's pumping that energy into that iron. The iron has the ability to hold magnetic energy and release it.
Ah.
Unlike a permanent magnet, which releases some, but it holds and absorbs more than it releases.
Okay, so he's cranking up the energy. He's building the energy.
Creating two currents. That's the key that everybody misses.
Okay, and one current is going into that collection of iron? Is that right? Where do the two currents go?
I believe he's creating an orbit of both currents, an equal balance, and that's what he's sending through the wire, and that's what science doesn't understand how to send through a wire.
Okay. He's sending it through a wire from that location, so he would, what, just lay a cable out somewhere, wherever he wanted it to pull the energy?
Well, if you look at the rest of the page, you'll see how his code unravels a grid pattern that when you take the code farther... All of a sudden, a grid pattern will emerge.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that in just a minute, but I'm just trying to do this one black
and white. This, I think, ties into that.
Okay.
If you look at the coil on the side of the wheel with the iron bar centered in the, over top of the coil, you see that?
Okay, which picture shall we be looking at for that?
Where he's turning the wheel.
Okay.
You see the iron bar that's on the side? It's centered right in the middle there?
Yeah, it's a thin bar. It's horizontal. It cuts across, actually... it's not touching the wheel, but it's right next to the wheel.
Yeah, it's tied down on top of his customized coil that he designed.
I see. So that's a little a square coil of some kind, and there's an iron bar on top of that.
And you notice how it's centered in the middle. Well, he says magnetic currents run in the center of the iron bar, not from end to end, like science thinks.
Oh.
Magnetic energy runs from the center out to its end. One side will be north and one side will be south.
Okay.
But now if you look at the coil, look at the center of the coil, you'll see a chain that runs out the center of the coil.
And it goes right down, just for our listeners, that's the chain you see going right down off the bottom of the picture, right in the center.
Right.
There's a little box there. Okay, all right.
That's where I think he's sending it out, but I'm not sure about that.
All right. Okay. Now the question is, he generates the energy at this location, magnetic energy. He goes to do work a couple hundred feet away. How does he access the energy from distance? What is your best guess?
I think it perpetually rotates by itself, sending out the streams of magnetic current through that center chain.
Okay, and that chain somehow, charged up the whole area that he was working in?
Well, science doesn't use north and south together. They think they cancel each other out.
Okay.
Canceling each other out equals zero. I think he's sending that zero in concentrated streams out. The energy on the northern hemisphere, there's north pole magnets coming down and south pole magnets going up. I'm just saying what he says.
Right. Okay, but what is your best guess?
He's catching what's coming down and catching what's going up and sending it out sideways.
Okay, sending it out sideways. So how does that enable him to move these huge stones, say, 150 feet away from this wheel?
Well,
what's your guess?
What gravity is that pressure between what's coming down and what's going up.
Okay,
so
if
he merges the two and sends them out, he's basically sending a stream of gravity, in a sense. If gravity is an equal balance of both forces.
Okay, I gotcha. So he is, from that location, sending out this balanced field of gravity how does he aim it? Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, there's natural grid patterns that hold the planet together, and I think he followed those grid patterns.
Ley lines, grid patterns.
Right, and that's what comes out in his code. That's what's so important about that part of it.
Okay, all right, very good. All right, let's back off that enlarged picture of Ed Leedskalman turning his magnetic generator. There are two pictures above that on the Nest Eggs page, which are very much worth our while. The center one we have seen before. I believe that is an image from, is it the Dendera image in Egypt? Forgotten the location. It shows two Egyptian men holding two devices, which quite clearly are connected to what appear to be some kind of heavy cabling. And those two devices have a symbol of a serpent on each one, and they do look as if they have three or four rings, concentric rings, as it were, coming off the lower side of the object that they're holding, which looks rather like the top of an enlarged Louisville Slugger baseball bat, if you will. And out the concentric rings appears to be depicted some kind of an energy surge or beam. So that's that has always been an absolutely fascinating picture. And it's real, and we've seen it before. Christopher Dunn and I have talked about that picture years and years ago when he discussed his work on the Great Pyramid of Giza. The top photograph says at work on it. And there's the very thin, 100 pounds, that's all they weighed, Ed Leedskalman standing next to, well, looks like a piece of a tree with two branches on it, a Y, as it were, with a piece of metal or iron and two pieces at the top of it. What is it?
Well, to me, it looks a lot like what they're holding. If you look at the dirty hand marks on the tree itself, where you could see where how he held that. There's one little knot at the bottom where you could tell he held that knot and he stuck his hand in that hole. It looked like he would hold it at the same angle.
I see. So it looks like the same kind of a device, basically, that is depicted right in that ancient Egyptian drawing.
Exactly.
So he would hold, you can all see, we have a break here, just about, I would say, a foot and a half up from the bottom of that tree limb before it splits into the Y. You can see a little... well, what used to be a tree limb sticking out, a handle, as it were. And if he were to hold that in the same position as the drawings of the Egyptians were shown to be holding their devices, you get the idea, I think, of what John has brilliantly connected here. That may well be what it is. Okay, maybe those two bars of iron were able to pick up in a grid all that energy he cranked up with his magnetic wheel. We'll find out more from John DePue in just a minute. We're back with John DePue, who just may have cracked one of the biggest mysteries of our times. Without any doubt, he is on to something, and we're following along with him, trying to stay with him. He's doing a very fine job of explaining this, and I want to again point out these three pictures on the Sacred Nest Eggs page. John is on a cell phone, by the way, tonight, so he is not as loud as we'd like him, but we can hear him just fine now. He's speaking up, and it's very important to understand the connection, and this is very smart, from the ancient Egyptian devices shown to what appears to be a very similar, although much more crude-looking device that Ed Leedskalman is seen standing next to in that picture. This is pretty amazing. All right, let's go back now, backspace a page to John's main homepage, Sacred Secrets. All right, John, that's we've got a real good setup for this. Let's kind of walk through what we have in terms of figure A and 1, 2, and 3 and so forth, and to just see what happens. Go ahead.
Okay, probably best to start at C.
You want to start at C?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it began with the two shapes.
Okay, that's a document called the Coral Castle Code. And John said it was unraveled from these two basic shapes of nature. I almost missed it, but he didn't. It is the base of all creation, and it's plus, zero, minus. Okay, now figure C, when we click on that, we'll look at a page. Coral Castle Code Broken. And it says here, long ago, I noticed a basic pattern that Ed Leedskalman left behind on the cover of his booklet, Magnetic Current. At first, I thought it was just a little design the publishers added to the cover design itself, and you can see it as a red arrow there pointing to it. It is so subtle, it's easy to miss. After reading Ed's booklets over and over again and thinking about what Ed mentions about magnetic currents and how they run in a wire, and that science has been misled by incorrect instruction books, referring to the properties of electricity, he said, "They do not know what it is and how it runs in a wire." End quote. "This intrigued me," said John Depew, my guest, "to no end. I experimented through countless nights with failure and success. I was thinking to myself, if they run in a special way, why wouldn't Ed leave more of a clue? That's when these two curved lines on his book cover became a possible clue. At least it was one I hadn't checked out before. So I began laying out the two curved patterns on paper, imagining them as magnetic currents and trying to show myself how they might run." And he goes on there. Explain next.
"Well, I ran them out in straight lines, and it didn't. Nothing really stood out that noticeable. And I've been researching this stuff for a long time, like I said. So I've gone through all the ancient texts I could find, and
right,
you know, and everything. And then when I started running these lines the other way into a vortex, where the energy is supposed to run in the first place, all of a sudden it just opened up a huge door, and I realized that it's exactly the same thing that's hidden on all the old sculptures. And you know what a foo dog is, or a foo lion? They were at the Forbidden City Temple.
Yeah.
Well, if you look, those dogs or lions represent these two currents. Under the male foo dog, you'll see a ball with a flower pattern on it.
Okay.
That flower pattern is exactly magnetic current and how they run.
Oh, in other words, it's the vortex, which looks like a flower, but it's showing what...
When you take these patterns and run them out in a straight line, and then you run them in a vortex,
uh-huh,
or just running them in a vortex will still produce the same ancient knowledge. I mean, it's all over the place. And when you research as much as I have, and then you open up this code, it's just like, bam, you know?
So exactly. Simple, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is...
geometry is based on this. That's what it is. It's a representation of magnetic current.
Okay, so for all of you who are able to see this when we are heard, wherever you are, whenever you hear this, we are on John's page, and we're looking now at how he first ran the two-curve pattern out in the straight line. He just took those two lines and laid them end to end to end to end, flat.
Yeah.
And then after drawing them in this way, it didn't feel right. So John said, "I thought I'm going to lay these patterns out until I find something that makes sense. That's when it all came together, and I realized Ed Leeds Skelman knew the secrets of what is known as sacred geometry. These two curved lines," Ed left, "held his biggest secret, his sweet 16, the magnetic currents of creation known to the ancients as the flower of life, among other titles." And the drawing of the vortex under that is, as I understand, is very simple, but it's universal.
Oh, it's beautiful. The patterns that come from these two lines...
Okay, talk a little louder, John. We got you, but keep it up.
The patterns that I've gotten from these two lines, they're constantly... I mean, they're never the same, but they're all brilliant. They all make sense. So I ended up... I color-coded these two lines. Now, here they're just black.
Right.
So I decided to make them individual currents, so I color-coded one red and one blue.
Ah.
And that's why I could follow the energy... how it would be distributed in the structure. You understand?
I do.
On some of the future pictures you see on my site here, you'll see them color-coded.
Okay, so we're looking at figure D next. And figure D is a close-up of the two lines that Ed drew on the outside of his book.
Right.
Positive current, left line. Negative current, the right line. Two equal forces, two directions of force.
Right, and that's what science misses right there.
You're talking about upsetting physics as we know it.
I know, but I can't believe that they haven't seen it so far. I mean, I'm a very simple person.
Well, I wouldn't say that. You figured out something that few, if any, have ever even guessed at before.
Oh, thank you for listening. Really, I really appreciate that. Because you're the first one.
Well, I'm pleased to do it. Figure E is Ed's book, Magnetic Current, And is this? He didn't have the red on the.
No, I did that
cover.
So people could understand what I'm talking about.
Got it. But he did have. Did he have a circle around magnetic current on the book?
No.
Okay.
No.
He just had magnetic current and then the two little lines.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Everything red is what I did.
I see. Well, it's brilliant is what it is. What you've done here.
And what's brilliant is that he left such a small clue. I mean, how did he figure all that out in his brain? I mean, it is these shapes evolve into such brilliancy, and they're circuits. I mean, they're actually functional circuits. They're male and female connections. It blows me away.
Well, for all of those listening tonight and who will follow your work now very closely, I think that they'll be as impressed as I am already. Figure F shows. What's that, John?
It ties science and religion together.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've taken the two lines in figure F and you've color-coded them.
This is only one way that I've color-coded. I've done it different ways where I've had like one end blue and one end red. And both ways turns out some pretty miraculous patterns.
Uh-huh.
But I like this one.
Very very handsome, very very strong, very timeless kind of an image there. Okay.
You know, with this image you're looking at right now with the color code?
Yeah.
If any of your listeners want to try it themselves, they can use that picture as a template.
Right.
Just white out the writing, you know, my name and all that stuff, and then take a magic wand in any kind of like Photoshop and separate the lines from the background. Keep that separated so you can just layer the lines on top of each other, and then you can develop your own pattern. And you'll see the brilliance of it.
Okay, now, figure G, the next figure, is, you've taken the lines and laid them again out in what appear to be just a, kind of a consecutive display, but exactly what are you doing here?
Basically, I'm just multiplying them, you know, and spreading them out.
Right.
And that's how I found sacred geometry. And that's when, you know, if you look at the cover of the book, it's magnetic current. That's the book.
Right.
And what's on that, those two lines, and those two lines represent sacred geometry. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells us Ed was tapped into the secrets of the universe.
Right. I mean, in a big way, bigger than anybody so far.
I think Tesla would have understood this easily.
Yeah, Tesla's wonderful.
And, in fact, maybe Tesla already knew about it. We don't know.
Yeah. I think he did, because if you look at his designs and things he said, he talked about designing things according to nature, you know, and that's exactly what this is.
Now, I did a program, it's been probably a couple of years ago now, about ground energies and how people in the latter part of the 19th century were actually sticking rods into the ground and generating huge banks of lights and electrical devices. Probably something to do with this kind of a principle.
I would think so.
John Bedini, I don't know if you know who John is, has done a lot of work. In fact, I'm going to call John and ask him to take a very close look at your work. John is... brilliant in his own right, and he'll really understand this.
That's what I need right there.
All right, well, we'll get that done. Okay, we move forward to figure I. And that
for
H,
actually. Did you see H? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, H. Let's not go to I yet.
Now, you understand what, you know what an atom is, right? Of course you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what holds an atom together? That's what this is. To give you an idea of what we're talking about.
Okay, this that energy that holds energy. That, say that again?
This is the base form of energy. Nothing goes any farther down than this.
Okay, this form of energy holds...
Nano people should pay attention to this.
Holds an atom together?
Right.
This could be zero-point energy?
Magnetic currents are the true atom builders, according to Ed.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Stand by. We have a little break here to do at the top. We'll come back and continue our conversation. This is the first, and we're very honored to have John with us tonight. And expose his work to as many people as we can and see where it goes from there. Back in just a few minutes.